12. Marcus.
I don't trust the Imperatrix.
Amarin cleared the table of cups, setting the bottle back on the sideboard, out of Marcus's reach.
She's calculating.
So am I. Marcus rested his elbows on the table, noticing for the first time that Amarin seemed to have aged in recent weeks, the wrinkles in his bronze skin deeper, his hair now more gray than brown. No longer a man in his prime, as he'd been when first assigned to Marcus. And everyone is angry at me, despite my calculations being in their best interests.
Do you blame them?
Amarin circled the table, coming up behind Marcus and taking hold of the sides of his head.
Breathe.
Marcus obediently took a deep breath, and his servant twisted his head sharply left, making his spine crack loudly, and repeated the motion to the right. Then Amarin dug his thumbs deep into the knots in Marcus's neck, kneading out the tension.
What I think is that they are rather ungrateful given that I've ensured we have the funds to pay wages and fill bellies for a long time to come. Never mind that we now have an ally strong enough to ensure we won't have to go into battle anytime soon.
Was keeping them in the dark necessary to achieve those ends?
If word had leaked of my intentions, I'd never have the chance to negotiate with the Imperators. They'd have brought their armies to the meeting, and I'd have had a battle on my hands. Or rather, Titus would have had a battle on his hands, because I'd be dead, and he'd be in command of this mission.
Since when have you had cause to doubt that your officers would keep your confidence on something of this magnitude?
Since one of them betrayed it.
Marcus only shrugged, brushing away both Amarin's question and his hands. They didn't need to know.
You have to trust someone, or you'll drive yourself to madness.
Thank you for your words of wisdom.
The older man snorted.
As usual, you'll ignore them. Where is he?
Marcus jumped at Teriana's voice, but before he could rise from his stool, she shoved her way into the tent, the men outside giving him apologetic looks.
You can't do it!
She leveled a finger at him.
I won't allow it.
You're going to need to be more specific,
he answered, watching Amarin sidestep Teriana as he made his way outside.
You cannot separate them.
He stared at her, his brain sluggish.
Pardon?
Mickey and Quintus.
Casting a backward glance over her shoulder, she came closer, her voice mercifully lower.
Never mind that it will break their hearts. It's cruel.
All the tension that Amarin had worked away returned to Marcus's neck, and his head renewed its throbbing.
I haven't even seen a report on injuries, much less signed off on discharges yet, so perhaps don't berate me for something I've yet to do.
Her eyes, turbid seas of distress, narrowed.
I'm pissed off at you as it is, Marcus, so perhaps you should watch your tone.
They glared at each other, and as always, she won.
Mickey's back is broken, and the surgeon says he'll never walk again. He told me that you'll be discharging him from the 37th and sending him to languish on the island with the rest of those who can't fight.
Never walk.
Grief, heavy as lead, clamped down on his shoulders, and Marcus slumped back on the stool.
If he can't walk, he can't fight. If he can't fight, he can't serve. I won't have a choice.
Why can't he stay here? Aren't there other tasks he could do? Not being able to walk doesn't make him useless, you know.
I never said it did.
Anger flooded through him, chasing away his grief, because though he'd been in this situation dozens of times before, it never got any easier. Back east, when he discharged men who could no longer march, they were returned to Celandor. They were paid out the balance of their earnings, and the Senate's army of administrators ensured they were cared for, at least for a time. But sending men back home wasn't an option, so since they'd reached the Dark Shores, he'd made do with other solutions.
It's how it's done, Teriana. If we were forced into a hard march, it would be a burden on the rest of my men to have to carry them, and he grimaced. It's bad for morale to have them around camp.
That's a disgusting reason.
Doesn't mean it's not true.
Her jaw worked back and forth, misery painted across her face. Then she said,
Let Quintus go with him.
Quintus will recover.
Physically, maybe,
she retorted.
But being separated from Mickey will destroy him. They need each other, Marcus. They love each other.
As if he didn't know that. Do you think that the other men I discharged aren't loved? that their loss doesn't hurt those they leave behind. I can't make an exception for Quintus, or I'll have dozens of other men in here asking for the same. I especially can't do this for him, given that everyone would know it was you.
That asked you to do it,
she finished for him.
So not only were they injured in defense of me, any chance of them being together has been destroyed because of me.
They knew the risks, and the outcome would be the same if Mickey had been injured taking Aerocom. I don't make exceptions, except for you.
Please.
She met his gaze.
Please don't do this to them.
He wanted to say yes, for their sake, for hers. No exceptions, Tariana. Don't ask me again.
Why?
She gave a stool a violent kick, sending it tumbling across the tent.
Why do you have to be this way? Why can't you for once do the right thing?
Exhaustion and pain and frustration slammed down on him, and Marcus felt his temper crack. Let's not forget that there are those among the Aranoquians with the power to heal Mickey. To heal all my men who are lying in that tent, injured beyond a surgeon's ability to repair. You could help them, but you choose not to in order to protect the people of the West. Just as I choose not to, in order to protect you. She looked as though he'd slapped her, and Marcus recognized instantly that he'd gone too far. I'm sorry. Rising to his feet, he added, I shouldn't have said that. This is my burden, not yours, and you shouldn't be made to feel otherwise. Tariana stared at the dirt floor between them, face lowered, but he still saw the glint of a tear running down her cheek.
It's true, though, isn't it?
She lifted her head.
Aren't we just a pair?
Split loyalties always make for difficult choices, and it always ended badly. Racker hasn't delivered his report on injuries just yet, he said slowly. Things could change. Mickey could improve. I've seen it happen before. He didn't add that the 37th surgeon was rarely wrong. I don't want to fight about something that might resolve itself without our intervention. She gave a slow nod.
Fine. But that doesn't absolve you of explaining that bullshit you pulled with the clans.
Grimacing, he righted the stool, gesturing for her to sit and doing the same once she was settled. My men need to be paid, Tariana. And they need to eat.
But you have...
She glanced toward where the chests of coin had once sat, her eyes lingering on the two that remained.
I see.
It spends quickly. She was quiet, her brow furrowed.
Fine. I understand why you took the gold. But what I don't understand is why you didn't tell me what you intended to do. Or anyone else from the sound of it.
The silence stretched between them, tension mounting with each passing second. Because, he swallowed hard, as much as I might wish otherwise. I can't trust you. Reaching into his belt pouch, he dropped the scrap of paper he'd received from the Catamarcan queen in front of her. Right now, I'm not entirely certain that I know you, princess. Tariana picked up the scrap of paper and Marcus felt every muscle in his body twist with tension over what she would say.
I'm not a princess,
she finally answered, setting the note back down.
I don't hold that much power over my people.
But Irene said that you do hold that much influence, with the Marin, and with other rulers in the West. She bit down on her lower lip, then gave a reluctant nod. Is this the only letter you sent?
No. I sent one to Gamdash as well.
His stomach soured, knowing that the nation north of them had the military might to put his legions in the ground. What did it say?
I explained the situation, your intentions, the Empire's intentions, and I asked for assistance with defeating you.
Her chin trembled.
I sent them within days of us arriving in Aranoquia, if that makes a difference.
Some of the tension in his chest released, because it did matter that she'd done it during the early days, before things had changed between them. They would have found out eventually, he said. I can only assume that the Marin on this side of the sea would make the information known. If not, I assume, given I received a report that Magnus and Bait have disappeared, that the news was destined to reach them. She exhaled, then rested her head in her hands, elbows on the table. Her braids rocked back and forth,
gold and silver and gemstones glittering in the lamplight. How had he not seen it? No Marin he'd ever met wore what amounted to a crown's worth of jewelry in their hair. It was a status symbol reserved for the upper echelons of society. And beyond the wealth, all the time she'd spoken of this king or that queen, it had been with the familiarity reserved for individuals one hadn't just heard of, but that one knew. He truly was blind when it came to her.
Have you done anything else? His voice was raspy. Is there anything else I should know?
Tyrianna didn't answer for a long time. Finally, she straightened, meeting his gaze.
I need to tell you something about Ashok.